I'm going to pray for me. I'm going to try to stumble through this thing best I can, but I'm going to preach it. And you know what? Somebody told me here about a week or two ago, I'd get ready to go to church. They said, Reggie, burn their hide. I don't want to be known for burning people's hides. I want to be known for feeding the flock. That's what I want to be known for. So let's see if we can feed the flock tonight. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, with Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. We said that Peter here, the Christians, had been persecuted. These were basically Jewish Christians here now at this point. By the way, Peter is the Jewish apostle. These Christians were scattered because of persecution. And he begins in verse 2, and we preached on this last week, elect. We talked about election and foreknowledge of God. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Aren't you glad you've got a God that knows everything in advance? Nothing's ever going to occur to Him. The foreknowledge, through sanctification of the Spirit of God sanctifies us and separates us unto the Lord. But it's a separation unto obedience. God just wants us to obey. He's not interested in a lot of service if we're not willing to obey. The next thing is a sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. And we said this, when Mary tried to approach Jesus after His resurrection, He said, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. Jesus took His blood and sprinkled it on the true mercy seat in heaven. And you and I, sanctification and our salvation is based upon the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. And because of that, when we place our faith in Him, what He said to these believers can occur, grace unto you. We can receive the grace of God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the conduit through which the grace of God is issued to you and I, is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And then not only grace, but after we've received grace, then we receive peace. And that peace and grace can be multiplied through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're preaching on verse number 3 tonight. You need to take your Bible, hold 1 Peter chapter 1, go to Psalms chapter 103. Psalms 103. And just hold it. The Bible said, there blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I'm having a problem. I'm trying to preach through the book of 1 Peter and I ain't getting very far very fast. Verse 2, I preached an entire message on verse number 2. And tonight I just want to preach a message on part of verse number 3. Remember this morning we was talking about blessing the Lord? Peter said here in verse number 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy, His abundant mercy. I want to preach tonight on the abundant mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. In our bathroom, right there by our sink, Karen has a plaque up. Karen tries to minister to me through stuff on the walls. How many of you guys have got wives that do the same thing? She's trying to tell you something about putting something on the wall. But on that wall it says, grace is God giving us what we did not deserve. But mercy is God not giving us what we did deserve. Grace is God giving us what we did not deserve. And mercy is God not giving us what we did deserve. In your Bible, I'm talking about mercy tonight. He said abundant mercy in Psalms 103. This morning, I was in Sunday school class, talking about blessing the Lord. Now, I want to tell you tonight, I'm not joking. I'm not just preaching. You may get spiritually attacked before morning, or maybe as you're driving to work in the morning, or maybe sometime this week. And I want you to practice what I'm telling you. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord when you're under spiritual attack. Verbally, bless the Lord. And I have memorized parts of Psalms 103. And here it goes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. You're going to find out that bless the Lord is seven times in this chapter. In verse number 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And then he's going to list some of these benefits of the blessings of the Lord. He said, or the benefits of the Lord. He said, who forgiveth all thine iniquities? I mean, the whole church house ought to be shouting right now. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Not part of them, not some of them. God has forgiven me all thine iniquities. I want you to remember who's writing this. David is writing this. David is a man who's an adulterer. He's a conniver. He's a manipulator. He's a liar. He's a cheat. He's a thief. He's a murderer. That's David. That's David. He was lying out his teeth that whole time. He was stealing his neighbor's wife. I mean, I'm telling you what, he was an absolute mess. This man wrote this passage of scripture because he understood and had an appreciation for the mercy of God, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. And that's not, by the way, I'm all for physical healing, but you know what where I really need healing? I need healing in my soul. And the subject here is the soul. He said in verse number 4, he's giving more benefits. He said, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Bless God Almighty, he's redeemed my life from destruction. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. If you read your Bible in the Old Testament, study the word mercies in the Old Testament, over and over again, it's going to tell you that God's mercies are tender. God don't walk up and slap you up the head. Now, he may do it eventually if you don't respond to his tender mercies. But God's mercies are tender. I tell you, I'm glad God come and puts his hand on you. I always think about Elijah down there in the juniper tree. And old Elijah was laying down there and he'd give up on God and God killed me and he ran from Jezebel and he got down there. And you know what the Lord said? He put him to sleep down there and he woke up. God fed him some angel food. Said Elijah, he touched him. The Bible said the angel of the Lord touched him. He didn't kick him and say, get up and get back to work. You sorry low down thing, come off here and quit on me. Where's your faith at, you sorry low down thing? No, the angel knelt down there by and he was wore out and fed up and sick and tired of the whole mess. God just touched him and said, go back to sleep. Journey's too great for you. God's of tender mercy. Don't ever forget that. God's of tender mercy. He said that's one of his benefits. Then verse number 5, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. I personally believe there that God is talking about the resurrection. I'm going to tell you one of these days, I'm not going to be in a body where I need glasses and hearing aids and everything else. My knees won't hurt and all that junk. I'm going to be in a new resurrected body like the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's one of the benefits of being redeemed by his loving kindness. Amen. That's one of the results of his tender mercies. I'm going to have a resurrected body. I believe it'll be like Jesus' body. I'm going to live in forever. I'm not too concerned about this life. Getting less concerned all the time. I'm looking for that life. I'm looking for that body. And then he said this. Verse number 6, the Lord executes righteousness and just judgment for all that are oppressed. You've been oppressed. God's going to execute judgment. God's going to do what's right. Don't worry about it. It'll be okay. Then he said this, he makes known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. He said, now watch verse number 8. Now remember what Peter said. Peter said, he said, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy. Now he said, I hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. That's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Now here, look what he said here in the psalm. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will his anger keep his anger forever. Verse 10 is my verse. How many's ever heard me say, how you doing, Reg? I'm saying better than I deserve. Anybody ever heard me say that? Well, I am doing better than I deserve. That's what David said. That's where I got this from, verse number 10. He, God, hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. If God had dealt with me after my sin and rewarded me according to my iniquities, I'd be crying and screaming in the bowels of hell tonight. And that's the honest truth. But because of God's mercy, I'm not. Verse number 11, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his what? Mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. We're talking about mercy. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we're dust. You're listening to a man who has committed sin, adultery, stole, lied, cheated, murdered, done everything. You nearly broke every commandment there ever was. I mean, a man who turned from being a boy that walked with God, anointed with God. God said, David, I gave you all this. What else could I have given you? And David, this is the man writing this. This is a man who understands and appreciates mercy. And we'll tell you what's the curse on the church tonight. We don't appreciate mercy. Do you know why our churches are full of false converts? We don't know what mercy is. We're having people have a conversion experience without ever sensing that they need mercy. I'm going to tell you something. The Bible talks about who loved much and who's been forgiven much. We need an old time revival of the sense and appreciation for the mercy of God. For what wasn't for his mercy tonight, we'd all be in hell. And if you'll get your mind on God being merciful to you, a lot of other junk will get out of your mind. He said there in verse number 15, for as man his days are grass, flower of the field, so he flourishes, the wind passes over, it's gone, the place there is no more. But the mercy
of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant and those that remember His commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the words of the word. Bless the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His, that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. I told you 7 times, we need a people that will bless God again. You know why we don't bless God? Because we don't think nothing of His mercy. What do you think? I want to tell you something tonight. Did we do God a favor by coming to church? Not hardly. He did us a favor by letting us be in church. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, is for those people who understand and remember that if it had not been for the mercy of God, you'd be in hell. And I'm telling you what, we need a revival of the mercy of God. You aren't saved because, I want to tell you right now tonight, you were not saved because you came to the front of a church and knelt on an altar and repeated a prayer after somebody. You were saved by the mercy of God. We are leading people to a false conversion because we do not make people see their need of mercy. I ask you this tonight, when's the last time you ever heard anybody get saved say, God be merciful to me, a sinner? You know what it's all? It's all repeated prayer and pat them on the back and you're saved. I'm telling you what, listen, this ministry that God has given us of reaching around and going around the country, I'm telling you right now, I was down at a revival in Georgia the other night, and I'm telling you what, just like God jumped up and said, I'm telling you, you preach on this, and I preached on that, and I tell you what, I got on this, once saved, always saved, and I plowed their ground up, and I said, I believe in eternal life, but a bunch of you people here tonight are clinging to a once saved, always saved, eternal security, and you don't know what no more being born again is than a man in the moon. You've prayed a little prayer, you've repeated after this, you said this, and you're just greasing, you're greasing into hell. I want to tell you something, God, but did you know that most of the 5 people that got saved down there were people in the church? In fact, the last lady that got saved is the lady that fixed our supper for us. She fixed our supper for us, had supper with them before that revival meeting. I am telling you, there are people all over the country who have never, never appreciated the mercy of God. You know why they don't need the mercy of God? Because they don't think they're too bad of sinners. Let's look at the mercy of God tonight. The mercy of God. God calls it great mercies. Now listen, I want you to keep in context that here's a man who realized he should have been in hell. Here's a man who honestly to goodness come to grips. He quit comparing himself to everybody else. He throwed his self-righteousness out the door, put himself before a holy God, a righteous God, a just God, and said, if God doesn't have mercy, I've had it. And I'm telling you, this is why you read about this mercy. The Bible calls it great mercies, manifold mercy. In other words, it's several layered. The Bible calls it tender mercies. The Bible says the multitude of mercies. The Bible said it's sure mercies. The Bible said it's that He is the Father of mercies. The Bible said He is ever merciful. The Bible said His mercies are kind. We'd all be in hell if it wasn't for the mercy of God tonight. I want to be a Christian that's known as appreciating the mercy of God, because I do appreciate the mercy of God. And I'm going to tell you something. I appreciate the mercy of God more tonight than I did the night I got saved. Now, I appreciated it the night I got saved, but I'm going to tell you, after you've been saved and experienced the mercies of God, the forgiveness of God, the grace of God, the graciousness of God, the goodness of God, and then turn around and go out and do a bunch of slop and garbage that you knew better than to do, then you come back and God deals with you. Buddy, I'm going to tell you one thing. Do you really feel like, oh, I know He had mercy on me as a lost sinner, but will God have mercy on me as a child of God and went and did what I did? Boy, I'll tell you something. That'll make you go out in the woods. That'll make you get on your face. That'll make you walk out in the pasture. That'll make you get down low. That'll make you say, God, I know I don't deserve it. God, I'm telling you, I know I don't deserve it. But God, would you have mercy on me? We need to be a people that's humble and a people that appreciates God's mercy. I am sick and tired of a Christianity and a Christian world walks around trying to see if everybody else dresses like you do, talks like you do, combs their hair like you do, all that kind of garbage and stuff. I want to be in a church that appreciates the mercy of God. Amen. Let me tell you something about the church that appreciates the mercy of God. They ain't fighting and fussing very much. Amen. They ain't got time to. They're so glad for the mercy of God. They realize it wasn't for the mercy of God, that the great grace of God, there's no telling where they'd be. The Bible talks about that we have a merciful high priest. I've got a high priest tonight in heaven, Jesus Christ the righteous. And the Bible said he's a merciful high priest. Boy, I'm glad he's merciful tonight. I'm glad I can point to his spear-pierced side and his nail-pierced hands and his lacerated back. And I'm glad I can point to Jesus Christ tonight and find mercy through the cross tonight. I want to tell you how merciful God is. His throne is called a throne of mercy. I want to tell you where the judgment, the great white throne, is not that mercy seat. That mercy seat for you and I tonight is that Ark of the Covenant, that mercy seat. God, think about this tonight. The holy, righteous God of the universe calls his throne a throne of mercy. God knows tonight that if I don't have mercy, I'm in hell. God knows tonight it's got to be mercy. I'll tell you what, away with our self-righteousness, away with our religiousness, away with how good we think we are. It's all mercy, amen. It's all mercy tonight. If we don't get mercy, we've had it. I'm telling you, we've had it. His throne is called a mercy. It's called the mercy seat. Jesus' blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat. His mercy, the Bible said, endures forever. Boy, I'm glad. I'm glad it ain't going to run out somewhere up the road. The Bible talks about extended mercy. That's when you're lost and God keeps extending his mercy to you. I sat in church for 28 years and God kept extending his mercy and extending his mercy. David said, I have trusted in thy mercy. I want you to think about what he said. David said, I didn't trust in how good it was. I didn't trust in being a good shepherd. I didn't trust this and I didn't trust that. David said, I'm trusting in his mercy. I'm telling you, if David trusts in his mercy, you and I better be trusting in his mercy. David said, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, I'm glad I've got mercy following me around. I ain't got self-righteousness following me around. I've not got my robes and rags and garbage following me around. But the mercy of God, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I'm needing it. I'm telling you, the Bible says that the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. The Bible said we're to be glad and rejoice in his mercy. I'll tell you what, the old time saints, they understood it. When people really get saved, they understand it. And that's why I said this morning, you'll have a song in your heart when you realize you've been forgiven of your sin and God had mercy on you. And if he'd have done right by you, he'd have sent you to hell. But he gave his only begotten son so that you could have mercy. You could have for the forgiveness of your sin. The Bible said we're to be glad and rejoice in his mercy. The Bible said we're compassed with his mercy. That means you're surrounded by the mercies of God. The Bible said we're to hope in his mercy. The Bible said we're to sing of his mercy. The Bible said his mercy is plenteous. The Bible said mercy and truth are met together, and they met together at the cross of Calvary. The Bible said mercy is to satisfy us, and I'm satisfied with the mercy of God. Amen. It just satisfies the daylights out of me. Amen. I'm just satisfied as I can be with the mercy of God. I ain't trying to do better. I ain't trying to be this. I ain't trying to be that. I'll tell you what, I'm going to get in the ark and float on to glory. Amen. And I'm going to be happy and I'm going to be glad in the mercies of God. Amen. The Bible said mercy satisfies us. The Bible said in Psalms 94 that mercy is what holds us up. I'm going to tell you right now, if you'll get honest with yourself, the only thing that'll hold you up when you've messed up and done that which you said you'd never do, when you failed God over and over, the only thing that's holding you up is his mercy. That's what God says. Amen. The Bible said his mercy is everlasting in Psalms 100 verse number 5. The Bible said that he's full of mercy. The earth is full of God's mercy. The Bible said that what Micah said, love mercy. Micah said, love mercy. Micah said, love mercy. I'm going to tell you something tonight. When you and I die, or if the Lord were to come tonight, I'm going to tell you we'd fall down before the throne of God and say, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your mercy. Let me tell you why we're so proud and cocky, because we do not have an appreciation for the mercy of God. Do you know why the Bible said in the New Testament that a man who was a murderer, an adulterer, a thief, and a liar was a man after God's own heart? It's because when God dealt with him, God broke him and he understood his need of mercy and he had a deep appreciation for the mercies of God. That's what God will look at tonight. You want God to smile on your soul? Have a deep appreciation for the mercies of God. The Bible said we're to delight in mercy. In Jonah chapter 2 and verse 8, the Bible says a strange thing. It says you can forsake your own mercy. Whew. Yes, sir. That's one of the most dangerous statements ever read in the Bible. It talks about a man forsaking his own mercy.
the mercy of God. In other words, you forget the mercy. You forsake the mercy that God wanted to give you. The Bible teaches us, though, that just as we've received mercy, we're to be merciful to other people. Jim, I've had to get up and apologize to the church. I've had to ask the church to forgive me numerous times over 30 years. I don't want to revisit them tonight. But you know what? I've never had this church say, well, we ain't going to forgive you. I'm glad for the mercy of other people. The Bible said, blessed are the merciful. You want to be like God tonight? Be merciful. You want to be like Jesus tonight? Be merciful to other people. Forgive people. I'm glad that people said, Reggie, I forgive you. I'm glad many times I've asked Karen, I'd like you to forgive me. I'm glad she's forgiven me. I'm glad times when I've asked my children to forgive me. I said, Daddy, I forgive you. Blessed are the merciful. We won't tell you something tonight. People sin against you, forgive them. Give it to God. Commit it to Him that judges righteously. You ain't going to fix it. You're not going to fix it. Rehearsing is not going to fix it. Oh, pray, oh, Lord, lay not this into their charge. I fight it. You don't want to believe, Terry, I believe I'm gaining ground. I really do. It's a hard struggle with old man flesh and old spirits are fighting off a hard, Brother Bob. But you know what? I'm gaining ground. I find myself out on the tractor or maybe driving down the road or out somewhere working and saying, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I want to tell you, let's be a strong church. Let's be a church that forgives people, that understands that God gave us mercy. If we'd got what we deserved, we'd be in hell. And because He gave us mercy, we ought to be merciful to other people. The Bible said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The Bible said this, watch this, the king is upheld by mercy. Let me tell you something. If a king is upheld by mercy, a father is upheld by mercy. A mama's upheld by mercy. A pastor's upheld by mercy. A church is upheld by mercy. Mercy is important in the Christian life. The Bible said we're to show mercy with cheerfulness. We're not to go, yeah, I forgive you. We're supposed to go, yeah, I forgive you, gladly. Well, the Bible said that we're to be very pitiful and of tender mercy one toward another. The Bible said that we as Christians would be full of mercy. You know something? Listen, the good fruits. Did you know from Adam to tonight, it's all been mercy. It's all been mercy. When Adam and Eve sinned, God in mercy killed an innocent substitute for them. And all the way down through the Old Testament, it was innocent substitutes dying for the guilty. And God was merciful to them. I'm telling you tonight, from the cross to now, it's all been mercy. Everybody that's ever been saved, it was through the mercy of God. I'm talking now about the basis of salvation. Mercy is the basis of salvation. The only prayer I know about in the Bible where you pray a prayer to be saved is in Luke 15, where it says, this man came to the house of God and he bowed his head and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I want to ask you tonight a question. I'm serious as a heart attack. I'm just as serious as I can possibly be. I can't make nobody lost. Ain't trying to. But I tell you what, my spirit's troubled. And the reason it's troubled because of what I went through personally in my spiritual journey. Most of my life, I've compared myself to other people. Most of my life was a self-righteous effort. I'm telling you that'll never save you. And I fear, just by observation, that so many people, you know, one of the things down there at that revival meeting done me a lot of good was those folks might be just starting up singing. They might be two songs in the song service. And there'd be somebody just get up. And one night folks got saved. I never before I ever started preaching. Got saved during the song service. I want to tell you about this church tonight. I want us to be a church that knows we need the mercy of God. Don't be afraid to come to this old altar and pray and seek the Lord if you need help. There was a spirit of down at that church. This pastor, he's working with, He said, Reg, we got so many old wounds in churches down here. He said, I don't mess with the old wounded church people much. He said, you can't reach them very well. But he said, oh, we got a bundle of them moving in here for jobs in Atlanta. And he said, these young couples are coming in here. And the first couple we went out to eat dinner with was a lady that had been a Mormon and the man had never been anything. And this old boy had led him to Christ. I'm telling you what, they're just so happy to be saved. They didn't know you're supposed to be gripey at each other. They're not that mature in the Lord yet. They didn't know you're supposed to be mad at other Christians yet. They're just happy to have mercy. They're just so thankful that God had mercy on them and found them down there in a little small development out there in the middle in Georgia pine trees. I want to ask you a question tonight. Have you ever asked God to have mercy on you? Have you ever said, God, please be merciful to me and save me? Lord, please forgive me. Lord, I don't have nothing to bring to you but filth and rottenness and sin and vileness. But God, I would appreciate your mercy tonight. Would you please have mercy on me? I don't know why. I'm just bothered in America. Nobody asks God for mercy anymore. We've got this deal down. We're going to have a repetition prayer. And I'm okay. I hope it's okay. I don't think people mean bad by it, maybe. But what if preachers demanded nobody's going to pray with you? Nobody's going to repeat a prayer for you. Nobody's going to say a prayer for you to repeat after. What if preachers said, unless you want mercy, unless you see you're drowning, we're not making some little, we're not greasing the slide for you. To be honest with you tonight, salvation is for no other person but those that know they need mercy. You can't be saved apart from mercy. I can't be saved apart from mercy. God, the Bible said, is rich in mercy. In Titus 3:5, the Bible said, not according to the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He has saved us. Mercy tonight is not at the expense of justice. It's not like we come up to God and say, oh God, I don't want to die and go to hell. Would you save me? And God says, that's fine. We pass on. Yep, that's passed up. No, no. Justice had to be satisfied in order for you to get mercy. Mercy is God not God going, okay, yep, come on in. God could not extend mercy to you and I without somebody, a qualified substitute, paying the wages of sin. That sin had to be paid for. The sin of the world. And the sin of the world was paid for in Jesus Christ. And that's why the Bible said He is just and the justifier. He is just in that He paid for our sins. God didn't let it slide. It's like the old black boy said in the movie, Courageous. He said, if a man was to slit your mama's throat and steal everything and abuse her, and then that man was brought to trial, and the man said, listen, that's the only time I've ever done anything like that. I'd just like if you let me go. And that judge said, all right, now don't go do that no more. And he let him out. Would you say He's a just God? Would you say He's a just judge? And the old boy said, why no? Let me tell you, if God just walked up to you and said, all the sins you've ever committed, it's okay, we're going to forget about that. You go on. God would not be a just God. Sin has to be paid for. It has to be. For Him to be a holy, just God, sin had to be paid for. And it was paid for in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's by that that He can extend us mercy. It's not just arbitrary. Mercy can only be extended through Jesus Christ. That's why God clearly tells you and I to come through Jesus Christ and His shed blood and His sacrifice to receive mercy. The only way you'll ever receive mercy is at the foot of the cross where Jesus died for your sins. That's how God gives you and I mercy. Those who are self-righteous never see any need for mercy. This country is full of good farmers who don't see any need for mercy. They've paid their bills. They don't have any time for God. They don't think they need mercy. I'm going to tell you right now, they're as self-righteous as hell itself. This country's full of good old boys. But you'll never see them on their knees and on their face before a holy God saying, God, would you give me mercy? This country is full of proud, self-righteous, I mean, sickening before the face of God people that will not bow themselves before God and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You can't pull, it's worse than pulling teeth at a dentist's office. But I'm going to tell you something tonight, you're not going to heaven without His mercy. You'll either go by mercy or you will not be saved. Those who compare themselves among themselves see no need of mercy. I'm just as good as that guy. If he makes it, I'll make it. I ain't done anything to God. Those who don't know the holiness of God do not see their need of mercy. Idolaters carve out a God in their mind that, you know, kind of sees things the way they do. And thus they need no mercy from God. Now I want to give you a verse tonight. I want you to listen to me very carefully. James chapter 2, verse number 13, the Bible talks about people who receive judgment without mercy. You ever thought about judgment without mercy? And then that same verse finishes up by saying, mercy rejoiceth against judgment. You ever think about judgment without mercy? You ever think about standing before a holy God? I've been rereading this passage of Scripture where it says that they mocked. God said they mocked me. They said, we'll have none of your counsel. We'll have none of your reproof. And then God says this, I will laugh at your calamity. God said, there'll be a day when mercy is cut off and you no longer can receive mercy. God's not going to put up this world forever. There's going to come a day. And by the way, the Bible said, of how much sore punishment. Listen to this verse. You'll never hear this verse quoted hardly ever. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and done despite unto the Spirit of grace. You've walked over to the cross of Calvary and spit on it and said, I don't need God's mercy. You've trampled on the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible said, think about this, of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, the blood of Jesus Christ, and done despite, watch this, despite unto the Spirit of grace. Well, I'm going to tell you something, that's one of the most dangerous, sobering verses you'll ever read in the Bible. God is warning those people who do not think they need mercy. I want to tell you young people here something tonight. You live in fear tonight of even your peers in this church seeing you on your face before God. You don't want anybody to see you bowed down before God. You don't want to see anybody with you and tears in your eyes. You're too stinking proud. And I want to tell you something's going to get you. It's going to get you. I want to tell you right now, I am not ashamed. And I'm not preaching stuff. I'm not ashamed to bow my knees before Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed to say that I'm saved totally by His mercy. And I want to tell you people tonight, I'm your pastor. In the sense of the Scriptures, I'm your shepherd. And I tell you, I want you to make sure that you've had mercy at the foot of the cross, that you've come to God, not how good a kid you are, or how good a daddy you are, nothing of that kind. And comparing yourself to everybody, well, I try to wear the right clothes and I try to listen to the right music and I do this. I'm going to tell you what, you'll never forget the forgiveness of your sins until you've received mercy from God. Now I'm going to tell you about getting that. When you get that, you can rejoice and nobody has to tell you you're saved. The Holy Ghost will tell you you're saved. Let's bow our heads for prayer. You're here tonight. And in the honesty of your heart, you know the Holy Spirit of God does not bear witness to your spirit that you're saved by the mercy of God. Now, I realize tonight that some people are just more bashful and not so outgoing as others. I understand that. But I also want to remind you of this, that God never qualified saving people on their personality. God requires every person to repent whether they're shy or whether they're outgoing. God requires every person to be born again, whether they talk much or talk little. And God requires every person to receive His mercy, no matter what your personality is. I'm going to tell you something. He's not qualifying that on your personality. What I'm asking you tonight is this. Have you ever asked God to have mercy on you? Or will you be among those who experience judgment without mercy? Oh, my lands. I don't want to die and face God without His mercy. And I rejoice tonight in His mercy. If you're here tonight, you might say, Pastor Reggie, I'm kind of like you. I've tried to live a Christian life. I've tried to be what I thought God want me to be and what Mom and Dad want me to be. But to be truthful about it, I've never shelled my pride off and come to God and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, I'm not trying to get some kind of artificial move out of nobody tonight. I just want to make sure I'm going to give it to you straight. Have you ever honestly said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner? Or are you just trying to live good enough to go to heaven? Do you understand tonight? Listen, you're headed for eternity just as sure as you're breathing right now. I want you to know clearly before you go, you need mercy. And nothing but mercy will save you. Through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that He paid for your sin, and now God can have mercy on you because He never makes somebody pay for the same sin twice. He can forgive you. He can give you mercy because of what Jesus did on the cross in paying for your sin. Your sin debt can be paid through Jesus' blood. You can receive mercy. Jesus received the judgment. You can get the mercy, but it's only through Him. Our Father tonight, dear Lord, please search hearts. And I pray, God, tonight that there'll be those in this room who, Lord, will understand what it means to bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. That we, like David, can, Lord, cry out with joy of the abundant, great mercy of God. That it'll shock us. It'll astound us. It'll amaze us that God had mercy upon us. And it'll uphold us and compass us. And it'll follow us. And Lord, we can say, bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh God, thank You for Your mercy. I thank You, Lord, that Your mercy is new every morning. That it endures forever. And that is from everlasting to everlasting. And I pray, God, right now, that every person in the sound of my voice would truly know what it is to be humble before You and to receive Your mercy and the forgiveness of sin. Lord, do Thy work in hearts tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and there's no music playing. But if you're here in this building tonight and the Holy Spirit of God speaking to you, you're under judgment, not mercy. You've never received mercy. You know you've been proud. You're too proud. You'd never admit to us another person that you needed God's mercy. I don't know where you're at tonight with God, but you and the Lord do. And I'm going to ask you right now, if you're here, please listen to me. It's not some do-better contest. It's not comparing ourselves among ourselves. It's not a set of rules. It's God's mercy that'll save you. According to His mercy, He has saved us. If you're here tonight, you're not sure that you're saved, I want you just to get up out of your seat right now. I want you to come up here and find a place and just say, God, I want You to have mercy on me. I'm not worried about trying to be a good Christian and do right and do all this stuff anymore. I just want You to have mercy upon me, and I want You to save me. Anybody in this building, right all over this building, anybody, I hope everybody's here saved tonight. I hope everybody's under the mercy of God tonight. Anybody? Here's what I'm going to ask you before we dismiss. If you're here tonight and you get home, you lay your head on your pillow or you're walking through the living room, and the sweet Spirit of God comes to you and says, that message was for you. Would you just find a place to get on your knees before the Lord and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, I want your mercy tonight through Jesus Christ. That's all I'm going to lay hold of for the rest of my life is the mercy of God. I pray that you'll do that. Stand with me tonight.